Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, beloved ones. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba with my wife, Tarina Mwamba, here in Dallas, Texas, the United States of America, broadcasting live here on Blog Talk Radio on the Mwamba World Outreach School of Ministry. I welcome you all, wherever you are around the world, listening in to this broadcast. It's a special broadcast because we are dedicating this particular time to reflect on what's going on in Zambia, Africa. As you might well know now, I'm originally from Zambia. You say, where is Zambia? Zambia is South Central Africa. It's about 15 degrees south of the equator, and it's in a tropical climate. Zambia is a beautiful country with trees, scattered savanna, they might call it, and then you have a lot of agricultural, ventures going on. People do a lot of farming. We have a big, huge chitenge textile, Kafue textile, where they make chitenge material, design, different kind of designs, and it's more or less like a traditional dressing of the Zambian women and men, too. We have mainly the copper mines that run the country and have been a source of income for the nation, propping up the GDP for Zambia. The copper mines stretch on what they call the Copper Belt province, which includes Ndola, Kitwe, Kabwe, Luansha Kalulushi, Chingola, and Chilabombwe. These, Kitwe, Chilabombwe, Luansha, and all these, they have mines where people work underground to mine the copper ore that goes through a process of purification to finally give a product of copper. From that copper ore, other products are obtained, like these emeralds, a little bit of diamonds, and a little bit of gold as well. So Zambia has a population now, I think, of 15 million people or more. And I was in Zambia a long time ago because I've been in the United States now getting to 20 years. But, my mind is as fresh as it was. I can reflect on Zambia, although people tell me that Zambia has really changed. But it suffice to say, it pleases me as one of the natives of Zambia, a son of Zambia. When elections like this take place, it gets to you, because these are very important elections that are very deciding to the direction of the country, where the country is going to go from this time forward, coming the next 10 years, or 5 years as it goes, maybe for the president, and then real elections are held again, and whosoever becomes president takes it for another 5 years. And so me, as a minister of the gospel, like I've said before, I've had a lot of access to government officials. I was one of the main leading chairmen on the Copper Belt with FODEP in monitoring elections when there was elections between the MMD and UNIP. I was the provincial chairman for the Copper Belt with Mr. Kapita, and we monitored elections. We had a lot of money that came in from the foundation. Jimmy Carter was involved, the president, former president of the United States, with the Jimmy Carter Foundation. They helped monitor the elections. And from that time on, even before the monitoring of elections, I was very accessible to government. During the presidency of President Kaunda, I had visited Mr. Gray Zulu. We had an official visit with Archbishop Idahosa from Nigeria. We visited Mr. Gray Zulu at Freedom House because he was the General Secretary of UNIP. Then we visited, the President's residence, the State House, although at that time Sandy Kazunga was the principal private secretary to the President. We had a chat, but it wasn't possible for me to meet him because he was hosting the non-aligned Conference of Nations, Commonwealth Conference. And so after meeting these dignitaries, later Lerone, when there was a change of government, when there was a change of government, Mr. Chiluba took over. The wife used to come to our church even before she became First Lady. And we used to go to her home to pray and spend time with her. Then the Lord opened doors for them to go to the State House, and she became First Lady. We were still very good friends. I gave them a lot of books, visited with Mr. Chiluba there when he lived in Indola at Kanono Street. And then God gave me access to permanent secretaries, to principal private secretaries, to the president, including vice president, Mr. Godfrey Mianda. I had an audience with him. Then I had an audience with mayors, permanent secretaries like Arthur Yoyo. We discussed at length matters pertaining to government and how we can help the nation and the youth come up to become responsible leaders in the future. Also, I've been very involved in politics. In Luansha, I was one of the close confidants to the mayor. They invited me to, in many forums, to open in prayer and close in prayer and just be there as a presence from the church. And so I've been with government for a very long time. I had the Office of the President for Religious Affairs, who came to visit us when we were dedicating the Bible school in Luansha. We have had a very dynamic, successful time with government. I think Nakatindi Wina came and spoke at one of our meetings at the Mulungushi Conference Center when we had Archbishop Itahosa come for the Women's Conference, where his wife had chaired the meeting, and then we were at the Crusades at the Kudimatawa Car Park. Now, so Zambia, you know, got birth, as it were, got independence in 1964 from the British. There then, there was a President Kaunda, Mainza Chona, and many other prominent leaders at that time. These guys pioneered the government, but they ruled for too long. Just like President Mugabe has been ruling for too long. President Kaunda and his friends were in power for 30 years. Can you imagine? 30 years, that's an age of a person. Here in America, you only run for 4 years, and you can go for another 4 years. Not after 8 years, then you need to run. These guys, 30 years running. And so anyway, the MMD came up with Frederick Chiluba, the founding chairman or president of MMD. And there was this special general election for the presidential and parliamentary seats. And this President Kaunda was badly walloped. I was there at the counting center. As they counted the ballots, I could see the tray for Kaunda was very little, about 9 votes in some places. So anyway, Frederick Chiluba got into power. He was a very welcoming guy. He gave a lot of favor to the churches, opened doors to churches to prosper. He had a slush fund to give to the church, which he did. Many people got some thousands of dollars to complete their projects as churches and whatever project that they had. Well, Chiluba ruled. We were very close, united with him, with Evangelist Richard Roberts. We went to Zambia and the mighty crusade under the invitation of President Chiluba, combined with our church. Then thereon, we had Ladona Osborne come to Zambia too, through the invitation of the president. Visited the president. He was out of the country, but he really attended to our needs while we were in Lusaka with his VIP dignitaries. So that's how it has been, Zambia running, and Chiluba, well, he apparently had problems with his wife. He divorced, and then he remarried, and, well, he lost, I think, his presidency to Mwanawasa, whom he had actually appointed, but Mwanawasa began to work against him. But anyway, as it would be, Mwanawasa fell sick during his presidency and died. I think he died overseas. I was here in America by then. But I heard from the news he died overseas, and they had to find a replacement. And I hear that's when they got Mr. Banda, who ruled for a short while. And then after that, there was an election, and this Michael Sata of the Patriotic Front won the elections. Patriotic Front was now in power with Michael Sata, president, who sounded very wild sometimes, the way he talked, the way he treated people. After that, then we had, he ruled for quite a while, renamed places, airports, like David Kaunda International Airport, Mansour Simon Kapwepwe Airport, and all that stuff, and built universities and stuff, but he fell sick and passed on. Well, when he passed on, Mr. Edgar Lungu, who was, I think, his special assistant, and he had a very powerful portfolio as secretary to the cabinet, I can't remember exactly, but he was nominated to become president in transition to the next coming general election. And so that's where we are here now. Today, elections were held in Zambia on the 11th of August. And today is the 13th, so we had a lapse of 2 days. I am directly connected to the Zambia Electoral Commission, and I'm receiving results and updates of election polls as they come in. And so far, we have, at my hand here, I have the following that I've been receiving from ECZ. It says here, General Election 2016, the Electoral Commission of Zambia. Date, 11 August 2016. These are the results of 8 out of 156 constituencies. Presidential election. It says, candidate name, Ichilema Hakainde. Party, UPND. Votes, 47,706 votes. So he's leading right now. Then it says here, Lungu Edika C. Changwa, Patriotic Front. Votes, 41,572. Then Kaunda Tilienji C. UNIP. Votes, 541. Banda Andiford M. PSC. 527 votes. Nawakwi Edis Z. FDD, 518 votes. Chishimba Xavier, UPP, 273 votes. Kasambimba Winter, Kavimba Winter, Rainbow Party, 196 votes. Sinkamba Peter C. Greens, 105 votes. Mwamba Maxwell, DA, 95 votes. So this is a reflection of what has been going on in Zambia right now. And these are the results we have received so far. There has been a delay in receiving further updates. Well, I have a polling statistics here, which is the total registered voters, 163,520. Total votes cast, 94,100. Total votes rejected, 2,567. Turnout, 57.55%. And so we see here that things are taking shape in Zambia. But the most important thing we need to reflect as these changes are coming to Zambia is that when you look at the masses, myself the other day I was looking at the masses that was going to listen to Mr. Edgar Lungu. I looked at the masses that were listening to H.H. Hakainde Henchilema. I said to myself, these thousands, you know, you cannot just come up and say I'm going to be president. Like here in America, over 200 and some million people. Then the thousands that attended these rallies that were held by Hakainde Henchilema and Mr. Gray, Mr. Edgar Lungu. You know, before God can entrust you with such responsibility to rule so many people, he must first have proved you. And that's what it is. The leadership that are going to go into leadership, and as long as they win, God has sanctioned that they will rule. They rule either the United States, where we expected Hillary Clinton to win, or rule in Zambia, where we see now Hakainde Henchilema leading. You see, the most important thing in having a leader is that we, who are the citizens of that particular country, we have a responsibility before God to pray. For no matter what happens, there is power in prayer. We need to continue praying that God's peace will prevail over Zambia, that this transition will be a successful one, and there will be no mishaps here and there, but it will be peaceful, and the one whom God has chosen shall be sworn in as President of the Republic of Zambia. But you know, you must realize that when people get power, when they become leaders, it's a very crucial thing to be a leader. There have been wicked leaders, like I always refer to. This guy in Germany, Hitler, he was a leader who forced himself to leadership and oppressed people, suppressed them, just the way I see, you know, this Trump doing. Suppressing people, stepping on them, insulting them, and eventually this man ordered the killing of innocent people, the Jews. The Jews were picked up and locked up in detention camps and then killed in these gas chambers. So you must realize that when we say we are going to have a president, it's a great responsibility that person is going to carry. It's a life and death situation when you have an immature person in power or somebody who is just getting in to become president because of ego. That, you know, they can see me on pictures. They can see that I'm the president of so-and-so country. It's not like that. When God appoints a person to become president of a nation, they become actually the nation's servant. They are there to watch that things are running smoothly, that people are following and adhering to the rules and laws of the state. And so it gives me great pleasure to see the peace that's reigning in Zambia. Even at this time of election, we have different contestants. We have different candidates who have stood to contest for election in the Republic of Zambia. And as we're seeing now that Hakainde Hichilema, he's showing signs of rising above the rest. If he's going to rise above the rest, let's accept what God has chosen and what God has given us. You know, the children of Israel, they went, they were ruled by God under a theocracy. But as time went on, you see, when the children left and they were possessing the land of Canaan, they got to fighting different kings and nations. After the book of Judges, you hear them making a request to Samuel the prophet, that they wanted to have a king like other nations. You see, we always want to get something that other people have. That's why there's power in influence. See, we, the fathers influence children, mothers influence children. We, city leaders, influence the people in the city. No matter where you are, your character has got a great impact. You have an influence of somebody who looks to you for leadership. I put myself in a high level caliber of behavior and integrity because I lead a people who are students of the Word of Life Bible College. Not only that, I minister to over 8,000 people around the world. I'm a pastor and bishop of the Pentecostal Believers Church of God and Word of Life Bible Church in Dallas, Texas, United States of America. And the branch we are opening in Plano. You see, you have to be on a high level of integrity because as a leader, the Bible said, in fact, it was a saying that as the leaders are, so are the people in the nation. You know, Samuel cried to the people, said, why do you want a king seeing God is your king? Look, once you have a king, he's going to get all your children. He's going to get all your belongings. He's going to get all your farms. And he's going to make you labor for him. They say, hey, we don't care about that. All we need is a king. See? That's why, you know, I said, you know, whenever you cry to God in prayer that you want so and so and so and so, I want an aeroplane, Lord. Give me an aeroplane. Send me to Japan, Lord. I want to go to Japan. You must be serious and really mean it that you want to go to Japan, because God is going to send you there. A ticket is going to come in the mail inviting you to go to Japan. So we see here, friends, that leaders are very vital, because leaders are the ones who are a reflection of a nation. Because you can see here, the Bible tells us that Samuel had actually been their prophet for a long time. And he was trying to get the people to do the will of God. But like it is in every nation, people are disobedient. People don't want to do the will of God. They want to do their own thing. They want to misbehave. See? But, you see, the Bible tells us here that here in Samuel chapter number 8, here Dex says, change of government in Israel from a theocracy to a kingdom. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1 to 10. It says, and it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of the firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba, and his sons walked not in his way, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel at Ramah, or unto Ramah, and said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy way. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. You see, when there is a problem, people will always run to the weakest way of escape. They say, make us a king. Because actually the sons had failed the Lord. You see, it's not always that your family is going to follow the footsteps that you set of integrity, of working hard. Some people have said you could work hard and gather wealth, and then you get one wild son. It destroys everything within a day. Listen. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all other nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, as do they also unto me. Now therefore, hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the ways of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. See, here, now Samuel pinpoints what these kings will do, or the king will do. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariots, and he will appoint him over thousands, and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground, and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war, and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries, and to be cooks, and to be bakers.
And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your oliveyards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyard and give to the officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and you shall be his servants. And he shall cry out, and you shall cry out in that day because of your king, which you shall have chosen you, and the Lord would not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, "Nay, we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, "Hearken unto their voice, and make them a king." And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, "Go ye every man unto his city." Now, these people forced the prophet Samuel to call on God to give them a king. There are many things we force the hand of God that we want. We want that Bentley. We want that Mercedes-Benz car. We want. Some of the things we want, we don't even pray through them to see if it's God's will that we should have them. Some of the things we ask for can become harmful to us. You see, as a nation in Zambia, you know, we must be careful who becomes king. Thank God that so far we have had peaceful leaders. But look at Mugabe, ruling Zimbabwe for over 50, getting to 40-some years. You mean to tell me there's no other intelligent person in Zimbabwe to rule? You see, when kings get into office, selfishness also creeps in. Because being a president of a country is a place of great power and wealth. No matter how things go, they still command a lot of respect, and they command, and that, you know, cause finances and different kinds of wealth to come their way because they are kings. As a president of a nation, everything in the country is at their disposal. The only deterrent is the law of the land. So blessed is that country whose president is a Christian. Like I saw Mr. Edgar Lungu praying many times when churches are gathered. That gives favor to such a person and to the president of the Republic of Zambia. Friends, when we appoint and have a president, listen to what someone said. He will take your horses, he will take your sons, he will take your daughters. And that's true. In a nation like in the United States, where drafts were made for people to go into war, you couldn't refuse, but you had to go to war. You were drafted. In places, you know, where influence of leadership, whatever they do, reflects upon and trickles down to the people in the land. So what are we going to say today? If Hichilema becomes president of the Republic of Zambia, it's our responsibility never to give up, but to pray for him night and day. If Edgar Lungu is going to continue being president of the Republic of Zambia, we need to continue praying for him that the grace of God will abound upon his life and that he will lead the nation of Zambia to great peace and prosperity. But it's our responsibility as leaders, as pastors, as citizens of the country to continue calling upon the name of the Lord. For he said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn them away from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will answer their prayer and heal their land." Here we are at crossroads. People have voted. We want to see what has transpired. Who is king in Zambia? Well, friends, we are watching together. I'm getting results directly from the Electoral Commission of Zambia, and we shall continue monitoring these important elections and ask you all to keep keep on praying for Zambia, asking for God's grace to abound. Shall we pray? Father, bless the nation of Zambia. Bless whosoever is going to be president. Touch the people of this great country. Bless and let there be peace. We bind the forces of the enemy that is not going to take advantage of any situation in the Republic of Zambia. But peace under the banner of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ himself shall reign over Zambia. God bless the Republic of Zambia. Well, this is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba signing off with my wife here, Tarina Mwamba here in Dallas, Texas, and saying we're going to talk to you again shortly. God bless you, and we look forward to talking to you, and bye-bye.